Okay, this evening I'm continuing speaking about transformed. Now, if you missed last week, I'm really going to try and give the gist to you and continue. If I lose you tonight, which I trust won't happen, then please go listen to last week's sermon. It's on our website, shofaronline.org. And there's just so much here that, I mean, as Sonika said, my life is transformed this last 2 weeks. And I'm just touching, I'm just skimming the surface of what I believe God is sharing with us. And end of last year, well, beginning last year, I felt God wants to minister to us about grace. And I said, I did a whole series on grace, and I was excited about that. And I thought, I've got this grace thing, understand it. Not so. And end of last year, I felt in my heart that this year will be a year of grace, not understanding what God means. You know, it's amazing how you can read scripture, you can read the Bible, and not have a clue. But you think you do. And that's sort of almost how I feel. It's not completely like that, but it's like new glasses. Okay. Yes. Okay, so I want to speak to you about sort of glasses. I want to speak to you about the veil. A veil that is over our eyes. Even as Christians, I'm speaking to believers tonight primarily, but I believe anybody will be blessed. So last week I shared about righteousness that is received, not achieved. And I used the illustration that for all of us, if you didn't have a relationship with God, you were driving in your car, and in the back seat, there was a Terminator. Yes, the I'll be back Terminator in the back seat. Now, that Terminator's name is sin. And so you were chasing away from the one trying to save you from the Terminator because you thought this is the bad guy, the guy in the big truck chasing you down, because he actually saw the Terminator. He wants to get rid of the Terminator. That guy's name is Jesus. And so he's chasing you down your whole life. And so many of us run away. But at some stage, after you crash into some wall somewhere, not stopping willingly, few of us stop willingly for God, but some of us crash into a wall, and so we're forced to stop and to say, help, and then God is there. And so he grabs the Terminator by the throat, he punches him in the face, and the Terminator falls back on his back, and you are set free. You become a believer, you become a Christian. And you are set free from the Terminator. And Jesus comes and he puts you into a new vehicle. The vehicle's name is the Salvation Mobile. I'm making this up as I go. The Salvation Mobile. But what he has done is, he's put you into this beautiful mobile. You were in a wreck. Now you're in this fancy Ferrari and you can go. And now what God does, this is the key bit. He puts fuel in. That fuel is called grace. It's called unmerited favor. It's called the power to live the Christian life. And so you don't pay for that. It's really cheap, not 7 rand something a liter. And it's cheap. You get your grace fuel and you speed off. And the Terminator gets up. And he starts running after you. But you are living by the power of grace. So you're speeding off. Elbow out the window. Shades on. Living life. But then this interesting thing happens. You're thinking, whoa, God gave this to me. For free. No. This is too good to be true. No way. This can't be. I mean, no. So you feel guilty. Jesus gives me the car. He gives me the fuel. This is too good. And so you think, but maybe I should do something to add to this relationship with God. Maybe I must pay back Jesus. And so you take your foot off the accelerator. Your vehicle comes to a standstill. You jump out and you start pushing because you want to help. You want to help. And good Christians want to help. And what's amazing, and then for the first time, you know what? You feel like a Christian. You're suffering. You're struggling. You're just making it. And that's what Christians do, don't they? They struggle. They suffer. Life's tough when you're a Christian. So you feel good about yourself. You are now giving back to God, and you are pushing the salvation mobile. And then the Terminator comes. You see, he's always running at the same pace. You've stopped. You were speeding off. Now the Terminator comes. And as a good Christian, just making it through life, now sin comes and visits you because you decided to help Jesus. So what's the moral of the story? Don't try to help Jesus. Okay, well, I'm going to explain. Bottom line is righteousness is received, not achieved. Most Christians think righteousness is achieved, not received. We're putting the cart in front of the horses, and then we wonder why Christianity, our experience, isn't as awesome as it can be. Romans 5, verse 1 to 2. This is sort of just to, again, emphasize what I was sharing about last week, although I didn't read the scripture last week. It says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by works. Anybody pick that up? Well done. By faith. Since we have been made right in God's sight by works, by faith, we have peace with God. Because of what I've been doing for the Lord every day of my life, I've been pushing my car. No. Because of what Jesus, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of hard-earned privilege where we now suffer. And we miserably and fearfully look forward to sharing in more suffering as the days go by. You laugh. I tell you, some of us read the scriptures like that. We read it like that. We're expecting punishment. We're expecting suffering. We're expecting God's anger to rain down upon us. So let me read that last bit to you again. Because of our faith, because of our trust, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege. You cannot earn it. You cannot work for it. You cannot do enough to impress God. The opposite is true. If you stop the grace pedal, you get out, you start pushing, Terminator will come and visit. He brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. Stand. And we must keep standing there. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Now that doesn't sound very Christian to me. Confidently, joyfully, can't be. Too good to be true. That's what I shared about last week. The good news is just too good to be true because we've learned Christianity is about do, do, do. When it's about done, done, done. And I know it's going to shock some of our minds. I've been struggling for a month now to get grips with this thing. I'm still struggling. You know, if we're not having fun, if you're not having fun being a Christian, something is wrong, according to that scripture. If you are fearful and worried about God punishing you, you're missing it. You're missing it. Romans 6:14, it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. The Terminator shall not bash you up. For you are not under law, but under grace. And there we get the key. Law. Not under law, not about under works, not about me trying to do good things for God, but under grace. It is done by God. And I have to add here, anybody that's living willfully in sin and they don't want to turn, they are not living under grace. They are living under the law. Any believer living in sin is not living under grace. Because if you were living under grace, the power of sin would be broken. Okay, so now I want to, and I've been so blessed with the testimonies, people that were here last week, just what people have been sharing about this weight falling from their shoulders. And this evening, I am here to terminate the Terminator. Okay? That's my mission tonight. Terminate the Terminator. Okay, so the veil. We all have glasses on. And there's a specific glass of spectacle, of a way of looking looking at life and looking at Scripture that is influencing us and getting us into trouble. But look at this. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. Now, what is a veil? A veil in this case could be like glasses painted completely black. The lens is completely black that you can't see. But there's a veil that the Scripture speaks of. 2 Corinthians 3:18. I'm going to give quite a few scriptures so you can go read it for yourself. It says, so all of us who have had the veil removed, say veil removed. All of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed or transformed, says another translation, into His glorious image. So the series about transformation, how does transformation happen? How do we break out of cycles of sin? How do we break out of negativity? How do we break out of a bad self-perception? How do we break out of a marriage going sour or relationships going wrong or us not achieving in life? How? Remove the veil. Remove the veil. Remove the veil. And the Scripture says that if you and I would remove the veil, then something awesome would happen. You would see the glory of God, and the glory of God would be reflected through our lives. In a sense, we'll become more and more like Him as we are changed or transformed into His glorious image. So something over time manifests on the outside, but there's something on the inside that needs to happen first. You need to remove the veil. What is the veil? The veil is to not realize what Jesus Christ has done for you. The veil is to mix grace and law. The veil is to get completely confused while you're driving in your salvation mobile, where you jump out and you start pushing the veil. It will influence the way you read Scripture. It will influence the way you connect with God. It will influence the way you come to God. It will transform you if you get this. Righteousness is received. What is righteousness? A right standing with God. Righteousness is received. It is not achieved. It is not done through works. What do I mean? When you and I put our trust in Jesus Christ, doesn't matter how bad a sinner you've been. Doesn't matter how way off you've been. The moment you or I commit our lives to Jesus Christ, a miracle happens on the inside. All of our sin are washed away. All of it. Completely. You are made holy. You are made pure. You are made righteous. When God, a holy God, looks at you at that very moment, He sees Jesus on the inside. Externally, it's not necessarily manifesting yet. But there's a position on the inside we need to take up in Christ. You see, how do we sometimes think? Anybody here, before you shower, you wash yourself? Anybody? I'd like to pray for you if there's anybody like that. Before you get into the shower, you wash yourself because you're dirty. Come on, be honest. Now, obviously not. I mean, that's plain silly. But when it comes to God, we think, I first need to wash myself so that I can be good enough to step into His presence. When He is the shower, when He is the one that washes us, when He is the one that cleanses us completely. And this is the big one that I shared last week. God forgives all your sins, past, present, and future. If you are a believer in Christ, if you put your trust in Jesus Christ, there is nothing that you can do that would cause you to be separated from God if you're a sincere believer. Nothing. I know you say, but that's not possible. I mean, everybody's then going to go off and just sin. But if you read the scriptures, you'll find every time God speaks about grace, He speaks about sin, He declares us righteous because He knows then you are able to overcome sin. Then you are able to overcome the Terminator. And so we are changed into His glorious image. Can you maybe say that? I'm repeating from last week. I am the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. What does it mean? It means when I put my trust in Jesus, I'm completely washed and cleansed and made whole. My sins are all washed away. I am the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. I know I must shock some of you now. I mean, that's just, we've been taught, no, you must first work. Yes, Jesus has forgiven you, but now, whoa, boyki, now if you go off, you know, if you sin, God is angry with you. He's angry with you. Is God a good God? Is He? He is. He is love. The anger of God and the wrath of God has been spent on the cross, on Jesus Christ. He has taken it all. He has become, the scripture says, He became sin for us so that we can become the righteousness of God. Not by works, but by faith. The just shall live by faith. We are saved not by works, but by grace through faith. Not by works, lest we should boast, but it is the gift of God. Ephesians 2. It is the gift of God. Ephesians 2. It is the gift of God. You cannot work for it. But you see, there is a veil. And we as Christians have been taught to try and live a holy life. And if we do good, then God is pleased. You can never do good enough to please. But you can trust in Jesus. And then God smiles upon you. Okay, but I'm gonna make sense in a moment. Hold on. Don't be upset or offended yet. I'm not preaching heresy. It feels like it because it freaks your mind out because it's what? It's too good to be true. But the gospel is good news. It is good news. Look at this. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 14 to 16. Stay with me. It will make sense. This is just before the previous scripture I read about, but those whose the veil has been removed. Now it speaks about those whose veil has not been removed, but their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. So you're saying, but obviously when I turn to Christ, the veil is taken away. Yes. But then you think you must help God. So you take your foot off the accelerator, you get out of your salvation mobile, and you start pushing. So you put the veil on again. And so Christianity becomes a burden, always trying to do good, but we can't. And so there's a veil in reading the scriptures because of what? The law. Reading the scriptures with a law focus. It's about doing good things, isn't it? No. It's about believing the right thing. And the good deeds will follow automatically. But if you focus on good deeds doing, then you're going to push in your own strength and you're going to struggle. Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law. What does it mean? All the Old Testament scriptures, and even then Jesus comes, New Testament. Do you realize the Gospels? Jesus came and he lifted the standard. He made it harder. He said, if you look at a woman to lust for her, you've already committed adultery. If you get angry with somebody, man, you are on your way to hell. Rich young ruler comes to Jesus and he says, what must I still do? Jesus says, sell all you have and now follow me. Hard? Yes. Impossible? I think so, yes. Young man comes to Jesus. Jesus, I want to follow you. But my dad has just died. I need to go bury him. Jesus says, let the dead bury their own dead. You come, follow me. Jesus, you're being really unreasonable here. Because it's law, guys. It's before the crucifixion. Even some of Jesus' words were there before the crucifixion. And so he lifted the standard so that you and I would call out, cry out and say, impossible. I can't do this. I can't be like this super holy man. But what are we taught? Be like Jesus. Try and be like Jesus. I'm not going to try because I can't do this in my own strength. Yes, we will change. Yes, we will live a better life. Yes, we will sin less and less. We will be conformed or transformed into the image of Christ. But it's how do you try to do that? Are you reading with a veil? And so we become schizophrenic Christians with our interpretation of Scripture. We read the Scriptures with a veil on. We're thinking, what must I do? What must I do? What must I do? When the Scripture says, what must you believe? What must you believe? What must you believe? What must I do? What must I do? What must I do? No, what has Jesus done? What has Jesus done? What has Jesus done? That's the focus. That is the focus. We must look in the Scriptures to see Jesus fulfilled the law. He never sinned. He never blasphemed. He obeyed to the letter. He obeyed the Sabbath. He fulfilled every facet of Scripture because he said, I come to fulfill the law. So why are you trying to do it? Why are we sometimes trying to be good people with this burden upon our shoulders? I must be a good Christian. I must be better. I must read more. There is a veil, and tonight I want to shoot the veil. And I know I'm going to make you uncomfortable because we're so used. If you're a believer, if you've read the Scriptures, we're so used to reading Scriptures in a certain way. I said it last week as well. I've preached on this. I've said, if you want God to bless you, you must obey Him. Now, obviously, that's where you want to get to. Deuteronomy 28, go read it for yourself. It says, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to the letter, every facet of the law, then God will bless you. There's 10 verses of blessing. And then the rest, 40 verses of punishment, of cursing, of sickness. Even where you, the Israelites, will eat their own children because of hunger, famine. Is that abundance of life? Is that Jesus saying, I've come to give you life and life in abundance? I don't think so. Because Jesus dealt with the law. He took all our sin on the cross. He took all the punishment. The wrath is over. The wrath is over. The anger is over. For who? The one who puts his trust in Jesus Christ. This is the best news ever. The whole book of first part of Romans is about this. The whole book of Galatians is about this. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, there are sections. That's all. This is all over the scriptures. I never really saw it. So how about this? It is not good enough. Ever heard that? You're going by your daily activities. You try to do something good for Jesus. And you hear the voice saying, it is not good enough. Try harder. Do better. Come on, man. After everything Jesus has done for you, you can do better than this miserable excuse for a short prayer. Or whatever. Fill in the blank. Satan. What does his name mean? The accuser. Satan. The accuser of the brethren. He comes to accuse us. Even when you do something right, the accuser will say it's not good enough. Read this as a section, Joseph Prince, out of his book. It says, like the constant sound of dripping water, he will keep on accusing and spewing condemnation toward you. And so often believers are under condemnation. And so often believers under condemnation would even think it is the Holy Spirit convicting them of their sins and pointing out their faults. And I want to expose something here, which I feel is in my own life. I've been listening to accusations and condemnation in my own life where I felt it isn't good enough. So I jump out of the car and I start pushing. I move into the flesh. I fall from grace. I fall from the help of God. The enemy uses scripture to accuse us. What? Scripture? But it obviously is the word of God, isn't it? Yes, it is. Ten commandments is of God. Yes, it is. But the enemy uses scripture to accuse us, to condemn us, and to shame us. You're not reading the Bible enough. You're not praying enough. Man, you shouldn't lose your cool like that. You're a bad Christian. Bad. Bad Christian. And the Bible speaks about this. Yeah, so you feel condemned, jump out of your car, you start pushing. You try harder. I'm trying harder. Jesus, I'm trying. I'm giving my best. I'm pushing. You were never meant to be pushing the car. You were supposed to receive the gift and live the life. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 9. For if the ministry of condemnation had glory. That is the old covenant. It was all about condemnation. It was all about the standard is too high if you don't punishment. But the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. Ministry of righteousness. What does it mean? Condemnation previously, now righteousness. How is it possible? How is it possible that we could have this veil on? You know, what happens is when you have this veil on, you start working, you start performing in your own ability. Do you know what happens? The scriptures speak about this. It says, for the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. What does it mean? That means when you're so focused on between good and evil, so focused, I mean, that's a tree in the Old Testament, Genesis 2, Eve ate of the tree of good and evil, but not from the tree of abundant life. I'm not going to go. That's a sermon on its own. We must come to the abundance of life. Look at this. John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. What does it mean? Steal? He wants to steal your liberty. Not liberty so that you can go off and sin. That's what I'm talking about. Liberty to live life. And he comes to kill. Condemnation, accusation, the pointing of the finger. It's not good enough. Try harder. And then he wants to destroy you. Because you get out, you start pushing your car, Terminator. Sin comes and visits. Because, hey, you're just a bad sinner, aren't you? Then you're just going to sin. Jesus come to give life. Okay, now look at them. This is what I want to talk about actually tonight. This is, if you have been sleeping, this is a good moment to wake up. Conviction of what? Now I want to ask you, who convicts us of sin? Come on, I want answers here. Anybody? Huh? The Holy Spirit. The devil. Okay, let's look at this. What does the scriptures actually say? I was reading this book, and this guy told me. He said in the book, there is not one scripture in the Bible that says the Holy Spirit has come to convict us of sin. I screamed out heresy. I put a question mark right next to the point he made. I phoned a teacher, pastor, or emailed a teacher buddy of mine saying, please read this book. I think it's heresy. And then on the next page, he takes me to the only scripture in the Bible that speaks about this thing. And then I thought I caught him out. Look at this, John 16, verse 8 to 11. And when he has come, that's the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of sin. I said, yeah, heresy, brother. I've got you. I caught you out. Yes, the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Then he says, please read the next verse. It says that he convicts the world of sin because they do not believe in me. Now, who doesn't believe in God? Believers or unbelievers? Christians or non-Christians? That's not a trick question. Not a trick question. Because they do not believe in me. So the Holy Spirit has come to convict the world, not of sins, of sin. What sin? That they do not place their trust in Jesus. Wow. But what about the believer then? Let's read on. Of righteousness. Because I go to my Father and see, and you see me no more. Who's he speaking to there? The disciples, the believers. So he's saying, the Holy Spirit will come to convict the whole world that they do not place their trust in Jesus. No, he's not going to point out to them all their sin. Just of sin. One, not believing. And what will he convict you and me of if we're a believer? Guys, this is revelation. This has changed my life. Of righteousness. Let me sketch the scenario. Good Christian, tempted, and he sins badly. Holy Spirit comes, and he comes to remind you and convict you of what Jesus has done for you. That you are righteous. That you are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. That you are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That you are cleansed. That nothing can separate you from Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes and says, don't listen to the accuser. Right now, just come. I'll wash you, I'll cleanse you, and let's overcome together. The Holy Spirit has come to convict us of righteousness. But most of us think the Holy Spirit has come to point out to us, you sinner. Oh, your heart stinks. Oh, this. Oh, that. Do you really want a holy, perfect God to come and point out to you all the wrong stuff in your life and heart? I'll be a wreck. I'll be a complete wreck. Do we really need the Holy Spirit to tell us when we've done wrong? You know when you've done wrong. You've got a conscience. Worst case scenario, your wife will tell you you did wrong. Guys, this, you need to get this. This will liberate you. This will set you free. If you come to know the Holy Spirit to be the helper, not the accuser. Satan is the accuser. He is the condemner. He is the one that points the finger. The Holy Spirit comes and says, do you realize what Jesus has done for you? Do you have any idea that God smiles on you? Have you any idea that the wrath of God has been spent upon Jesus on the cross? There is no wrath left for the believer. Do you realize that if you live without guilt and condemnation and shame, and you on the pedal of grace in your salvation mobile, you will break free from sin. You'll break free. Hallelujah. Good time to say amen. Amen. And then Jesus didn't just pay your fine. He didn't just, okay, last few cents, fine. He overpaid. He said, I'm paying for all his sins for this part of his life, but I'm going to up front pay for all the rest he's going to do as well. It's finished. Didn't Jesus say that? Was he lying when he was dying on the cross? It is finished. Or was it finished? Was the work of Christ completed? Or must we add to those works? I believe it is finished. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 34. In the King James Version, says it beautifully. It says, awake to righteousness and sin not. The outflow of awaking to righteousness is that you'll sin not. This is the truth. This is the good news. Right believing will always lead to right living. Right believing will always lead to right living. Guilt and condemnation and shame will lead to wrong living, because you're just going to throw in the towel and say, oh, I'm a miserable sinner in any case. What's the point of trying to live a holy life? What's the point? Look at this. No condemnation. Romans 8, verse 1. Joseph Prince shares in this book, and I, by the revelation he received from the Lord, that he believes that condemnation is the deepest root of problems in Christians' lives. You've got stress, that's a root. Fear, deeper root. Deepest root, condemnation. That's the one you want to get to. And it produces sickness and guilt and shame and all the other things at the top, because the roots are not sorted. Now look at this. Romans 8 verse 1. Just before this, the Apostle Paul is crying out to God and he's saying, who will deliver me from this body of death? Because I'm continuously doing the wrong stuff. I do what I don't want to do. And he answers and he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ. No, not through my hard work. If I just try hard enough. No, through Jesus Christ, I will be delivered from this body of death. And then the next verse, it says, there is therefore now. Can you say now? Now. Now. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What does it mean? If sin wasn't present, then obviously there would be no condemnation. This is in the context of not living a perfect life. This is in the context of sin. A sincere believer wanting to follow Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Who is in Christ Jesus? Those who put their trust in Him. He says, Jesus, I thank you that you have paid the price for all my sins, and I am righteous, I am holy, I am perfect on the inside in the sight of the living God. I'm no longer a sinner, Lord. I am now a saint. Can you say that? I am a saint because of what Jesus did for you or for me. Can you say that? Because of what Jesus did for me. Go read the first letters, or the first parts of the Apostle Paul's letters. He often starts off with saying, I'm writing this to the saints in Colossae and to the saints in Philippi. Who are the saints? Man, probably not more than one or two in that church. The rest are all sinners. No. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who put their trust in Jesus. I got a picture this past few weeks. It really spoke to me. Because you see, sometimes it's not God that's putting the pressure on us. And sometimes it's not even the devil accusing us. Sometimes it's me putting pressure on me. And I've experienced this in my life. So often I hit myself over the head. Should have done better. Should have prayed harder. Should have been more focused. Should have been this. Should have been that. And then I open the door for this guilt and condemnation to come into my life. And I think so many of us. Because if you're a sincere believer, you obviously want to do well. I got this picture. Say there's the target. You have got a bow and arrow. And you want to hit the target. Do you know what grace is? The target's over there, but you're pointing way over there. And you shoot. And you say, oops. But man, I put my trust in Jesus. Grace? Grace. I really believe that's what God is saying. But we've learned in the management world, there are all these books. If you follow these principles, and if you follow this, and if you do this, and if you do that, then God will bless you. I would say if I put my trust sincerely in Jesus, and I give my best, He will do the rest. We've often joked about this in our church, Shofar Stellenbosch. Pastor Fred often says this, if I would look at everything I've done wrong the last 15 years, this church should not be standing. I concur. I agree. But the church has grown and exploded from year in to year out. And we've come to the conclusion that we don't think it is us. Which is a beautiful conclusion. Because there's no place for pride. There's just place for glory. Thank you, Jesus. You can be an imperfect wife or husband, and you can have an awesome marriage. You can be an imperfect parent. You can have a wonderful child serving Jesus Christ because of grace. Because you put your trust in Jesus every day of your life. There is therefore now no condemnation. Because the Holy Spirit will come to you and say to you, hey, buddy. Yep. Remember. Jesus did it all. Jesus paid the price. You are pure and holy if you put your trust in Jesus. So schizophrenic Christianity is when we are subscribing the accusations of the devil to the work of the Holy Spirit. That's schizophrenic Christianity. So let's expose that tonight. Start evaluating your heart. What are you hearing? What's the finger that is pointing at your life? Renounce, and then renounce the veil. Renounce the veil. And put your full trust in what Jesus did for you. Throw it from you. I broke it. That's okay. The veil must break. Renounce the veil and believe. Shock the devil. Shock everybody. And believe that God is good. Believe that He is love. Believe that He's paid the price for you. I'm so excited. I want to worship Jesus when I think that. I want to run to Him. I don't want to run away from Him when I think that. And so we need a renewal of our minds. So I just want to, last scripture. Speaking about judgment. I'm ending off here. Judgment. We are so sure, because that verse in John chapter 16 speaks of the Holy Spirit has come to convict us of judgment. Who? Not us. Or not that we are judged, but it says because the ruler of this world is judged. So the Holy Spirit will come and tell you, hey, that Terminator you're afraid of, taken him out for you. Look at this. Colossians 2, verse 13. It first speaks before that we were dead in our trespasses. We were dead in our sin. And then it says, He, Jesus, God, has made us alive together with Him. Wow. Having forgiven you all trespasses. And having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. You see, the devil used the handwriting. He used scripture against us to accuse us. You're not doing enough. You're messing up there. You're not a good Christian. But then says he has wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way. Having done what? Having nailed it to the cross. What's he going to do that again? No. Once. One sacrifice. Having nailed it to the cross. Remove the accusations. It's like the Terminator was like, Jesus grabbed the finger and he ripped it off. That's graphic. That's wonderful. That's like rugby time, you know, Super 14, semis. I mean, that's for the money. Okay. Having nailed it to the cross. And then he says this, having disarmed. Okay, now the devil doesn't want you to hear this. I guarantee you. He doesn't want you to know that when he was standing there with his machine gun, the bullets have been taken out. The finger has been broken off. The two teeth has been ripped out, it says as well in the scriptures. Death, where is your sting? Hades, where is your power? Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Yes! Storm is going to club the biller in the final. Yes. Come on. God is good. That is like 1,000 times more exciting. Having disarmed, having taken those bulls apart, scrum after scrum. Sorry, I'm getting distracted. He made a public spectacle of them. Triumphing over them. Do you know what? The devil can visit you tonight and you can just smile. What do you think you're doing? Loser. You've got nothing against me. I'm holy. I am cleansed by the blood of Jesus. I am a saint. Performance not always so good, but Jesus did it for me. And I put my trust in Jesus. And that's why I worship Him. And the devil will run, guys. This is truth. If you get this, you will be transformed. If you get this, you will worship Jesus. If you get this, you will live no longer with this burden upon your shoulders. But you will put your arm out the window, shades on, foot on the pedal. And you're going to live life. And I want to announce this, guys. It's time for this church to live life. No guilt, no shame, no condemnation. No trying to prove how good we are. No trying to earn our righteousness. But now we just live for our Savior. Because we're already in a secure relationship with Him. Huh? Nothing can rip you out of the grip. Out of the hands, out of the goodness of the living God. God will not make you sick because of your sin. He will not punish you because you have disobeyed. Yes, sometimes we position ourselves badly. We bring it upon ourselves. But it isn't God. God is saying, come back. Safe place right here. Right now. Because I am exposing so many lies in my own life and in my own heart. What about you? What lies are you receiving in your own life? What accusations are you receiving? What finger pointing? There is therefore now. Not because of your good performance, there is therefore now no condemnation. Is that good news? That's good news. That is awesome news. So I want us to take, as we're handing out the elements, I want you to take a moment and to search your heart and ask yourself, where are you receiving guilt and condemnation in your life? See, if you are not putting your trust in Jesus, yes, fine, then the Holy Spirit will convict you and He will say to you, but now come on, put your trust in Jesus. That's good conviction. That will lead you to life. But the Holy Spirit will not come to accuse us and point the finger at us and try and get us to work harder. The only work that is working is the finished work of Jesus Christ. The only work that is working is the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now, does that mean that we don't do anything anymore? No. That means you're putting your foot to the pedal and you're going, you're actually doing more. You're more effective, but you're living from a position of strength. So just close your eyes and just take a moment. Take a moment and ask yourself, what accusations am I receiving? Does it feel to me sometimes that God isn't smiling on me? Is He sometimes angry? The wrath has been spent. And now you can just come. Yes, God, we thank You. Thank You for the truth, Lord. Thank You that You say in Your word that we shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. Scriptures say, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth and you will be saved. Tell the story that I shared last week as well. But Joseph Prince shares this in the book, and it's just so beautiful. He says, there was a guy in his church, been serving the Lord for quite some time, but he was struggling with smoking. The guy didn't want to smoke, but every day he would smoke at least 50 cigarettes. Every day. And so he came to Joseph Prince, and he said, I feel so condemned. I feel so guilty. I feel that I'm not good enough because this finger is pointing the whole time. Call yourself a good Christian. So telling him you're not good enough. And then Joseph told him, now you go and you confess every day, I am the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. And so he would get up every morning, he would look into the mirror and confess that he is the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. And then he would stand smoking and confess, I am the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. And this would go on for weeks. And then he'd smoke and be less and less and less and less and less. Until one morning he gets up and his addiction has been broken. The power has been broken. Because he is the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. It's already done on the inside. It now must just manifest on the outside. Praise God. Jesus said in the Word, if you eat my flesh and you drink my blood, then you will have life. Eternal life. What does that mean? If you put your trust in what Jesus has done for you, if you are persuaded that Jesus Christ has broken the power of sin on the cross, if you are persuaded that all your sins have been washed away, past, present, and future, you will have eternal life and you will overcome. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you paid the price. Thank you that you hung on that cross. Thank you that your hands and your feet were pierced as you obeyed to the last letter. And you took our sin upon yourself. Thank you, Lord, as we eat this bread, we remember, we are reminded of what Jesus has done for us. In Jesus' name, let's eat together. Repeat this and say, it's a sort of a renunciation to say, I renounce the veil of the law in my life in Jesus' name. I renounce the accusations, the guilt, the shame, and the condemnation that the devil is trying to put on me. By the blood of Jesus Christ, I renounce it. And then I declare that I believe in Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross. And therefore, I am holy. I am pure. I am a saint. Forever and ever. Forever and ever. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. We receive. We are reminded. And we believe that it is done. Let's drink together. To sin. Grace is the power to overcome sin. So let us not misunderstand. Let's worship Jesus as he is.